This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's been a monster November for stocks. And the big question, is that momentum going to carry into 2024? We'll talk to a trio of our regular guests to get their take. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, we're going to bring on Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com. Chuck, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
Yes, and in fact, we just got an email from one of the Gaines listeners out of North Carolina, giving us some props, took some of the information that we've been talking about, some of the strategies and info that we've talked about on the Gaines podcast, a lot of these with Chuck and the Dow Theory, and he's having a really, really good year. His portfolio's up 35%. This is after having somebody else manage his money and it not doing very well. And so, you know, gave us a ton of props and thanks to the listener. I know you're listening right now, the listener from North Carolina. But he asked where he could get some more info on the Dow Theory, which we talk about on the Gaines podcast all the time. This is for all the Gaines listeners, because I'm sure a lot of folks want to know what kind of books or websites or how we could get more information, a more in-depth understanding of the Dow Theory. And that's where I wanted to start, Chuck. Thoughts on that?
Sure. This is all going to be self-serving, Andy, but we publish a newsletter here at our sister company, Horizon Publishing, publishes a newsletter called Dow Theory Forecast, which is a newsletter that has been published since 1946. In fact, it's probably the oldest continuously published investment newsletter in the United States. And that talks specifically about the Dow Theory, gives stock recommendations, gives, you know, each issue, and it's a weekly newsletter. There's a market commentary on what's going on in the market based on the prism of the Dow Theory. So the good news is, if anybody's interested in getting that newsletter and trying it out and learning more about the Dow Theory, they can go to our website. That's dowtheory.com. And they can sign up there for a free 30-day trial subscription to the newsletter. So they can try it risk-free and see if it's for them. But they will certainly get a lot more information about the Dow Theory via the newsletter. That's dowtheory.com and sign up for the free 30-day trial to the newsletter.
I think we talked about this a while back, like a million years ago. Is there a go-to book? And I think it may be very old and could possibly even be out of print, but didn't you mention one time to me, Chuck, that there was some kind of go-to Dow Theory book, you know, the Dow Theory Bible? I don't know.
Yeah, a pretty good book is it's called in effect, the one that's out in the marketplace now, I actually wrote the foreword to, and it's called The Stock Market Barometer. And it was written by William Hamilton, who was kind of, who carried the torch after Charles Dow, who developed it Charles Dow was the first publisher of the Wall Street Journal, and then William Hamilton came on and followed suit and kind of perpetuated the work done on it. So, again, that book is The Stock Market Barometer, written by William Hamilton, and you should be able to find that in print somewhere.
All right. So, you know, be on the lookout for that as well. I know I am. Can never read too much about the Dow theory. But that's us Gaines listeners. We're a little different than the regular crowd. And I got to think that there's a little bit of contrarianism in us as well. But anyway, thanks for the info there. Hey, monster November for stocks. And the Dow theory all along, when things got a little shaky, kept us in the market. We knew, even when stocks were getting roughed up, earlier, to hold our nose, continue to buy, stay the plan. And then after this November, pretty good. So where is the Dow theory? I mean, we know it's bullish, but kind of explain, you know, what's been going on.
Sure. We've had, it turned bullish here about mid-year. Then we had what was a pretty classic, but oftentimes scary market correction that went from about the end of July through August, September, and October, and then bottomed out in that, you know, at the outer end of that typical 3-month range. And then we've had a ferocious rally here. And what you want to see under the Dow theory is new important highs in both the Dow Industrials and Dow Transports. And I'll give you those points. On the Dow Industrials, that important new high level is 35,630.68. That's 35,630.68, which is the the August 1st high. We are real close to that. The market today closed at around 35,416. So we're getting close. The one index that needs to pick it up a little bit is the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which has come pretty nicely off its bottom. But it still has a ways to go. It really needs to get above its previous significant high, which is the July 28th high of 16,695.32. And while that's had a really nice move off of its October 27th low of about 13,500, so we're up to about 14,800 now. That still has some work to go to get above that previous level. So, you know, the bottom line is the last major signal under the Dow theory was bullish. We've had a traditional, typical correction within a bull market. Hopefully that correction is behind us and we're getting a rally. What you want to see are both the indices moving above their previous high. What you don't want to see, and especially from the Dow Transports, is a breakdown and a move below the near-term low. So, you know,
what are the levels on those? Let's establish the levels on the floor as well both the industrials and transports.
Nope. Okay, for the industrials, that significant low is 32,417.59, and for the transports, it's 13,556.87. So again, industrials, that low is 32,417.59. And for the transports, it's 13,556.07. And keep in mind, the way the Dow theory works best is that you have confirmation between the indices. In other words, they're both moving directionally as well as making, you know, significant new highs. What you don't want them to be doing are making significant new lows together, because that's almost by definition what a bear market is. So, you know, the transports typically can be the canary in the coal mine. And again, you know, I can give you a long list of reasons why this market should continue to move higher. But the biggest potential roadblock for the market, as it often is a recession, where you have an earnings slowdown, which hits corporate profits, which hits stock prices, et cetera. And if a recession is around the corner, the best indicator of that is going to be the Dow Jones Transportation Average. So as long as the Dow Transports can stay above that October 27th low, which again is 13,556.07, I think that the notion of a recession is going to continue to be pushed out. On the other hand, if you see a close below that level, It's going to be very difficult for the overall market to sustain this upward move, and that would not be a good indication for the future economic activity. So, you know, that's if investors want to watch something right now, the key to watch would be how the Dow transports perform. And actually, while the industrials have had a pretty good account of themselves here, the transports have had a little bit of a rollover here the last couple of days. And today, for example, while the industrials were up, the transports were down. And again, I don't want to make too much out of a couple of day movement, but you know, you're going to need to see the Dow transports continue their upward move if this market is going to continue to sustain, and the broad market's going to sustain an upward move.
Well, and the Dow theory's not all or nothing, and you know, you got to trust the process here, and that's what we talk about all the time, is we just got to let it all play out. We have these levels that we watch, and then we just kind of wait and, you know, act accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, all the while you're watching these levels, you know, watch what's going on with individual stocks as well. Sometimes we kind of lose the forest for the trees and focus on exactly what are the indices doing. But, you know, there are a lot of things happening underneath the shade of the forest in terms of individual stocks moving in all sorts of directions. And, you know, the primary trend is bullish. And, you know, if you see a stock that you like that has come into a price range that you like, you should buy it. But again, if you're trying to get a bead on what could potentially derail things, again, I think the biggest derailer at this point would be a recession. And I think a good indicator of that is the action of the Dow Jones Transportation Average. And at this point, they're not saying that a recession is imminent. But if we did break that low, then I probably would change my tune a bit.
And they are the ultimate leading indicator because they're telling us where product and raw resources are being moved. And when there's a lot of activity in that, that often means that there's a lot more economic activity to come behind that as well. Just kind of hit that real quick.
Yeah, they're sensitive to just a host of factors that are important to the economy, whether it's labor, it's fuel, it's the movement of products within the United States and even internationally. So they touch on very important areas of the broad economy, and if those areas are weakening, that filters through to the transports, and that filters through to kind of an economic picture that is starting to wane. Now, my guess is, you know, judging from how the indices have been behaving, it wouldn't be surprising to see a little bit of an economic slowdown. But, you know, there's a difference between an economic slowdown and a recession. And in an economic slowdown, sometimes that's not the worst thing for the broad market, especially if interest rates start coming down as they have been. So, you know, you get into this, and you've heard this term, Andy, and I'm sure you've talked about it, this whole notion of a Goldilocks economy, which is nirvana for stocks. It's, you know, an economy that's not too hot or not too cold. And, you know, that could we be settling into something like that? It's quite possible. So we'll see. But again, we're going to take our cues from what the transports are telling us. And so we're going to be following those pretty closely here.
And one other thing I noticed is we did have a bit of a broadening of the good times for stocks. It was very isolated for a while in technology in certain areas. And the thing I've noticed, is, especially this November, is a broadening of the types of stocks that are going up and the sectors. And thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, there's a, you know, everybody typically likes to focus on the litany of reasons why stocks should go down. But you can, I mean, there are a number of reasons that investors should feel bullish. A, you've got a Dow theory that's bullish. B, we've had the correction, so hopefully that's out of the way. C, valuations for the broad market are not stretched. You know, D, you're getting, as you mentioned, this improved breadth where now you're seeing value stocks, growth stocks, small cap stocks, dividend paying stocks, growth stocks, all doing well. And that's the type of breadth that you like to see that leads broad markets. We're in a what is typically a seasonally strong period for the market. When you look at those three engines that we talk about ad nauseum on your show, corporate profits, inflation, and interest rates, corporate profits are fine. Inflation and interest rates, still elevated, are trending certainly in the right direction. And so, yeah, there are definitely reasons to be bullish. You've got tons of money on the sidelines that could come in and fuel the market. When you look at the volume of money that's in money markets, I mean, you start to see rates in money markets coming down with any kind of expediency. It's going to give investors some pause in terms of, you know, you couple that with FOMO and you see the interest rate coming down on your money market, plus that fear of missing out if the market continues higher. There's a lot, awful lot of money on the sidelines that could come in and drive this thing higher. So
that's an excellent point. You know, that's certainly an excellent point, because we haven't seen these higher interest rates like this for quite some time. And, you know, it frankly has made it easy for investors to get a pretty decent yield with like virtually no risk.
Right. And if that starts to pivot a little bit, all the while stocks are going up, it's, you know, people are going to think twice about storing money in cash and trying to get a piece of this market. So, there are good reasons to own stocks right now, and reasons that I think have legs. Now, again, what could derail this thing? Well, if you have a backup in interest rates and inflation, obviously that wouldn't be great. But I think, again, the biggest boogeyman out there for the market, quite frankly, is the Fed going to overshoot this notion of a soft landing, and are we going to get a hard recession? And, you know, hard recessions are they cause bear markets. And so if that is the biggest concern, at least it is for me, then I want to watch those Dow transports, because they're going to give me the tell, hopefully, on whether we're heading into a recession or not by how they behave. So, the market sets up pretty well, and the setup is also pretty well for giving you some foreshadowing of trouble. And again, that will show up in those Dow transports, and that's why I continue to kind of harp on them. But they have a lot of value for investors that are trying to discern the future here.
All right. Big thanks to Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
All right, we're back to continue the discussion. We're bringing on Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors in New York. Jim, always great to have you on the Gains podcast. It's been a solid November for stocks. Does the momentum continue into the end of the year?
Yes, I think it does. So far, the economy, while it's slowing, continues to show resilience. Consumers seem to spend over Thanksgiving weekend. The planes are still full. The forward bookings are strong in terms of experience and travel. At the same time, you're continuing to get a wind down of the of inflation. You're getting some deflation in the goods sector, retailers are saying. So you're getting growth in the economy, receding inflation. Profits seem to have turned the corner and are growing again. And there is a increasing conviction that the Fed is done for now. So that's a pretty good combination for stocks for the end of the year. The only caveat I would have is that I think the bond market has gotten ahead of the Fed in terms of forecasting interest rates going forward. And you could get a little bit of a shock when the dot plots come out, because I think the Fed's going to have a somewhat harsher and more hawkish tone than the bond market is experiencing now. But that's the major roadblock I'm worried about.
Well, you mentioned the bond market, and they are pricing in maybe some softer Fed policy going forward. Explain how that kind of jives with everything.
Well, yeah, I think the Fed very much does not want to send a message that it's going to lower rates anytime soon. I think they want to send a message that they're going to stay higher for longer and imply that that goes through the third quarter of next year, whereas the markets are pricing in something at the end of the second quarter or beginning of the third quarter. And I don't think the Fed wants to see the markets loosen financial conditions too much, because that works against what the Fed is trying to accomplish, which is slowing the economy and reducing inflation. So you're going to have a period here where the markets are disagreeing with the Fed. And every time that's happened in the last 12 months, the Fed has turned out to be right and the market's wrong. So what you worry about tactically is that when the markets, when you have the Fed meeting and you get the dot plots, that there's a reality check for the bond markets that could transitorily affect the stock markets. But I think that will be ultimately overwhelmed by the strength of the economy and corporate profits in the fourth quarter.
Well, and actually the Fed is being responsible here. Even if the market wants them to go more on a looser policy, they did address inflation. And as you mentioned, it's critical that they keep rates kind of at these levels. What areas of the market do you like going into the end of the year, starting at the beginning of 2024, including where does tech fall on that list as well?
Yeah, specifically, you know, the tech story is strong, enduring, and is going to be with us for years and years to come. Whether you're talking about semiconductors, artificial intelligence, it drives the economy, it drives innovation, it lowers inflation, it benefits from the reshoring away from China. So you have to have a large exposure to tech. Having said that, the market must become more egalitarian to be sustainable. And that's to say, you have a situation here where the average stock is up just a few percent this year, and the cap-weighted average is obviously up much more than that. That has to become more even for the market to have durable legs. But having said that, you can own them all. You can own the equal-weighted and maintain your weighting in the cap-weighted in the growth area, because if I'm right on the direction of the economy, all should participate in the next leg of the bull market.
Always appreciate the great advice from Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearstead Advisors in New York. All right, well, let's bring on Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Jack, always great to have you on the Gains Podcast. A monster November so far. Markets have been on a tear. Just wanted to get your take on the recent rise in stocks, and if that momentum is going to carry us at least until the end of the year.
Yeah, boy, it's an impressive move that we've seen. You know, if you look at the move in stocks since the beginning of November, I think it was that the first jobs report, so it was the right at the beginning of the month, we got a lower than expected jobs report that was followed by a better than expected inflation report. And then we had weak retail sales, and putting our all together suggests perhaps the Fed is done and interest rates were too high at 5%. Now we're certainly rallying back and they're at 450 and actually 440. So, yeah, that great move that we had in November. And there's no reason why the trend can't continue, especially if we continue to get weaker numbers to, you know, argue for not just flat rates from the Fed, but actually lower rates next year. So I think that's a good thing.
What areas of the market do you like right now? What kind of gives you interest? So what sector, any stocks that are catching your eye?
Sure. So, you know, if this current momentum that we enjoyed in November continues, we should expect to see a lot of power from REITs. Everyone wrote off real estate. Certainly private real estate hasn't really found the right value yet, but public real estate got hammered last year. It got hammered at the beginning of this year. And, you know, having rates drop from, you know, 5 to 4.5 quickly has really been firepower for REIT. So that's one area that we like.
We often talk international as well. Where are you on the international stock front? You know, we like to diversify our portfolios, and that international exposure is something that we often keep an eye on.
It is, and we do like the fact that now the dollar, with this rate decline, has finally turned around. Hopefully, that's going to catch a little momentum to the downside. It hasn't yet. We're watching that 50-day moving average. If it drops below its 200-day moving average of the dollar, that's a good sign to say, you know, the dollar will continue to weaken. And that's obviously a tailwind for international. Among the international developed markets, we still love Japan. That was a bet we made early in the year, and we still like it. I would have expected the yen to actually turn around and rally, and it's done pretty much the opposite. But even in spite of that, the Japanese stocks for the year are up probably 15 or so percent.
What vehicle are you using to get exposure with the Japanese stocks?
Yeah, we use an ETF called EWJ. That's the ticker.
Is that exclusively Japan?
It's exclusively Japan, but it's dollar denominated. If you know, for those listeners who think perhaps the dollar is going to strengthen, then I would suggest the WisdomTree yen hedged Japan. I don't know the ticker.
Oh, but that's interesting. I didn't realize that there was a currency hedge for Japanese stocks. That's interesting. Just name it again one more time.
WisdomTree yen hedged Japan fund.
It's
got to be up 40 or 50% this year.
Yeah, the gains listener, that's an interesting take on investing overseas with a hedge against the currency. Any other domestically, what do you like? What is catching your eye? What are you deploying cash to right now?
Sure. We still like private credit. So this is we're lending money to cash flowing businesses. We're putting ourselves in a senior secured position. Probably the closest thing to that strategy would be bank loan fund, BKLN, a floating rate. It delivered pretty good performance this year as rates in the short end stayed pretty high. Other areas of the market that we like would be probably, you know, again, if this trend in interest continues downward, and we expect it will, that should be good news for mid-cap stocks, even some high-quality small-cap stocks, just because they've really suffered as rates have risen. Their financing costs have gone up really almost a magnified way relative to large-cap. And if we can see just any of this rate rise turn around, they're going to be the biggest beneficiaries.
And finally, advice for the individual investor that's really maybe timid here, not sure, you know, I've seen a decent November, but, you know, it's kind of been back and forth throughout the year. What's your advice for them?
Yeah, near term, I do watch investor sentiment, and I will say bullishness is starting to get pretty widespread, and so that's a contrary indicator for me. So right now on the bull-bear continuum, bullishness is in the 80th percentile of its historical range. If that gets to the 90th percentile, and I do expect it will, that's a near-term bearish signal. I'd love to see a pullback in December, and perhaps we could get a better entry point either later in the year or early next year.
And then finally, 2024, how are things going to shape up long-term?
So we we do believe that growth is going to slow but remain positive. We think inflation is going to slow and remain positive. And that kind of slowing environment is not bad for large cap stocks and not bad for bonds. It's really not good for commodities. So oil and a lot of the other energy sectors probably will lag next year. But stocks and bonds should do okay. And if it looks like we can avoid a recession, all the better. If we do go in a recession, of course, then we're going to want to own those bonds and then wait to sort of catch any kind of hint of a recovery. And then that's really where small cap stocks do their best.
Always appreciate it. Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We'll be back next Wednesday morning, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.